welcome to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael of Greensboro. And now let's welcome our dear friend, Brother Dean.
All right, welcome back to Preach the Word podcast. I am your host, Dean Carmichael. Today we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 11. It's going to be our key verse today, and the title of the message is How to Comfort Others. How to Comfort Others. The word comfort in the Webster's Dictionary is defined as relief from pain, ease, rest or moderate pleasure after pain, cold, distress, or uneasiness of body, relief from distress of mind, the ease and quiet which is experienced when pain, trouble, agitation, or affliction ceases, supporting consolation, encouragement. And that's the end of the quote. That is from Webster's Dictionary. Now, the word comforter is a name for the Holy Spirit because of his ministry of strengthening and encouraging. I want you to listen to these verses here. John chapter number 14, verse 16 and 26. Listen closely to the words of Jesus. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you in all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 15, verse number 26 says, But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then one more, John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, God comforts us so we can comfort others. He is the Comforter. He is the great comforter, the only source of true comfort. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. When you are on an airplane, you are instructed in an emergency to put on your own mask before helping someone else. In other words, before you help someone else in a time of crisis, you yourself have to be able to breathe. You have to be in the right state of mind. What does the Bible say in Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. How are we comforted by the Comforter? Well, there are five things, not restricted to these five things, but here are just five examples, rather, of how we are comforted by the Comforter. In Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26, the Bible tells us that he pleads for us. He pleads for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26. And the Bible says, Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We are comforted by the Comforter, number one, because he pleads. He pleads for us. There are things that we don't know that only God knows. We think we may know what we stand in need of, but honestly, we don't. We think we may know what we need, but God is the only one. Not only does he plead for us, he also provides. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he pleads, he intercedes on our behalf. We may not always know what even to pray, but the Holy Spirit of God intercedes for us. He provides for us. He fills us with the presence of God. He fills us with the peace of God. He also proposes. In other words, he suggests and he gives us counsel. He always points back to God's word. The Holy Spirit of God is not going to point to himself. He's always going to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always going to direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of Psalm chapter number 23. David said, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd will lead us, but we have to follow. The Holy Spirit of God is always going to direct us to follow our shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Not only does he plead, not only does he provide, not only does he propose, he also permits. The Holy Spirit of God will permit. Romans chapter number 12 in verse number 2. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He permits. The Holy Spirit of God gives us spiritual eyes. He helps us discern the will of God. He gives us wisdom. You know, discernment is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's very important that we understand that. Through the Holy Spirit, we can have godly wisdom and godly discernment. We can have the spiritual eyes, meaning we can see things the way God wants us to. A natural man can read the Bible all day long. A natural man can use worldly wisdom all day long. But until you are indwelt and then filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will not see things through spiritual eyes. That has to be through the Holy Spirit. And then last of all, he protects. He secures us. He seals us as children of God. In this chaotic world, we feel safe because of the Holy Spirit of God, who will protect us. Now, all of those things, he intercedes on our behalf. He fills us with the presence and peace of God. He gives us counsel and wisdom and discernment and gives us spiritual eyes. And he helps us see things the way God would want us to see them. He protects us. What does the Bible say? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, the word follower there means imitator. Now, the word imitator in Webster's dictionary means to follow as a pattern, to model or example. Now, an impersonator is a little different than an imitator. So, I can do some pretty good impersonations. I can do a pretty mean Hulk Hogan. I can do a pretty mean Kermit the Frog. I'm pretty good at impersonating them. I can do a good Rango. That's my favorite movie. I can impersonate those individuals and sound somewhat like them. I do different impersonations of my friends when we're around, we're goofing off. I will impersonate them. But that is not what this is talking about. We're not to impersonate God or impersonate what we think a righteous person is supposed to live like flipping on a switch, right? That's why a lot of people have so much trouble. It's because we impersonate rather than imitate. Especially a leader who tries to act like a leader. Well, let's be honest. People aren't going to be fooled for too long. They're going to see right through what you're doing. They're going to realize that when you get up in front of people or when you're at a certain place, you act completely different than how you are in other places. Well, they realize, well, he's not genuine. Well, to imitate means to truly follow as a pattern, to model our life, to live, let the example of the Holy Spirit, how he comforts us, use that as a way of life. You think of the story of Dorcas. also known as Tabitha. She was a Christian woman from Joppa, about 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem, near the Mediterranean Sea. And Dorcas, she lived life the way she was told to live life, and that was by helping others. Jesus told and taught to care and help others, so that's what Dorcas did. She was a noble woman, and she was well known for repairing the garments for the widows and others in need. And we all know the story of how she was healed, but we also know that her testimony in itself of just helping others and living out the example that Christ had set before her. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." We need comforters. We need to be comforted. The Holy Spirit of God is the comforter. And as the Bible says, and to our key verse here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse number 11, going all the way down to verse number 27, is a series of 22 commandments for Christians. These are practical commandments. This is commandments for everyday life. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, the very first commandment in this series of commandments, of practical commandments to believers, is comfort yourselves together. Encourage one another in the faith. That's what that literally means. Comfort yourselves together. So, how to comfort others? I'll give you three things. Number one, how to comfort others, we must be submissive. The word submit means to let down, to cause to sink, or to lower. The great preacher, the John the Baptist, said, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." That's John 3, verse 30, 31. We must understand that without God, we cannot truly comfort. To truly be an encourager, we must first be in total surrender to God. Now, let me give you some misconceptions of comforting others. Some misconceptions of comforting others, especially within the Western church, I believe. Some misconceptions of comforting someone is always saying what you're supposed to say, or saying the right thing. And the right thing is defined by, of course, what we have defined it as, a cliche thing. Sometimes, unintentionally, we may play on someone's emotions, which is very dangerous. Sometimes, unintentionally, we may rely on our own ability to minister, trying to find the right words. Sometimes, we may try to find the right words just because we're so uncomfortable being in a position where somebody needs comfort. Maybe they are grieving a loved one, or maybe our flesh becomes to get fearful. We're scared because we see somebody who is really hurting, and we don't want to say the wrong thing or make it worse, or we know we're supposed to help them. So we just try to find the right words just to get us out of the situation, just so we can hurry up and leave and get on home. Well, that is a misconception of comforting, is to always have the right words to say. You may hear people say those cliches that you hear, and there's nothing wrong with these words. You know, "I'll pray for you," or, you know, "I can understand what you're going through," or, you know, God's going to help you through this. Well, there's nothing wrong with those words. But what we have to understand is, if we are saying something because we heard someone else say it, or because we feel that we're supposed to say it, or we just want to give that person something, or maybe it's a pride thing, maybe we feel we have to live up, you know, because we're a Christian or because we're a minister, we have to help this person. So we just kind of echo what we hear other people say. The thing we must understand is, without the Holy Spirit of God, without God Himself, we cannot comfort. You do not. A misconception of comforting others is being able to say those things that we're supposed to say. That is a misconception. You sometimes, in order to comfort somebody, you don't have to say anything. Sometimes, in order to comfort someone, you may just sit beside them. You may comfort them over time. People grieve differently. I'm talking specifically about a person who's grieving a loved one, it takes up how many years it takes for a person to truly grieve. There are different processes. There are different personalities. There's different things that each person is grieving. Sometimes the Holy Spirit of God may just lead us to just sit by them. He may give us the words to say, but it may be years later. Remember, God's ways are not our ways. And a misconception of being able to comfort someone is saying those certain things that everyone says in a time of crisis, which aren't always bad. But when we rely on ourselves, when we rely on cliches and just certain things, people aren't always going to get comfort. Another misconception is being able to relate to that person is going to give them comfort. I want to tell you from a personal testimony, some of my hardest times in life, some of my darkest days, I did not find help, comfort, and relief because somebody came by and said a cliche word or a cliche phrase that you hear in church all the time. I did not find comfort because somebody came up to me, wrapped their arm around me, and said, "Son, I've been there." That did not give me comfort. You want to know what really gave me comfort? Was when a friend pointed me back to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was pointed back in the direction of the Word of God, that is when I found comfort. When I heard that still small voice, that is when I found comfort. If you truly want to help someone, remember this, if you want to comfort, number one, you need to be submissive. What that means is, like John the Baptist said, we must decrease and He, the Lord Jesus Christ, must increase. Think of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God does not speak of Himself. He always directs you to the Lord Jesus. He's going to point to the Savior. He's going to point to the Word of God. Okay? He's not going to point to Himself. He's going to direct you to the Father, the Son, the Word of God. That's where we're going to get our comfort from. He is going to comfort us. He's going to give us the Word of God. As the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The psalmist who meditated on the word day and night. Submit yourself. Totally yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Give up. Humility, submissiveness, meekness, all of those things. Don't rely on your own ability to minister. Don't rely on things, cliche Christian things that you've heard your whole life, or maybe you heard in one preacher say, or one, and you've heard it, and you just say it because you feel like you're supposed to say it. Don't rely on certain things that you've been through. Now, don't get me wrong. Having a person to relate to, there's nothing wrong with that. But we've got to understand. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." This is how we comfort people, is by being submissive and letting God work through us. We live in a society today, especially in the church. I used to be a skateboarder, so I'm going to get on a skateboard and I'm going to go witness to skateboarders. Well, you know, just because a person skateboards, I mean, we're thinking this thing, we're making this too complicated, okay? You really want to be a blessing to someone, you want to minister to someone, submit yourself to God. Don't rely on anything that you've done. Don't rely on any experience. Give God the glory and let Him work. He may use certain experiences in your life. He may lay something on your heart to say. He may, because of the hobby you have or the job that you have, lead you to somebody, whatever it may be. But what we've got to do is we got to decrease. We got to get out of the way. We got to stop relying on our characteristics or certain things about us to be able to minister. Doesn't matter if you're an introvert, extrovert, what your love language is, or all those things that the world likes to tell you. You know, there's seminars, there's workshops within the church, and all these little self-help books and these quick little 160-page books they publish every week, it seems like, and all these different steps. Listen, you want to comfort someone? Decrease. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Repent of your sin. Be in fellowship with God, and let the Holy Spirit of God work through you, and you will truly be a comfort and an encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes you won't even know it. You're living your life with God. You're speaking words that He has on your heart. You may not even know what they're going through, but because you're so close to God, He's able to live through you. You know, that's one of the reasons why journaling is such a great spiritual discipline. It's one of the reasons why spending time in worship and meditating on the law of the Lord, on the Bible, day and night, and praying without ceasing is so important. It's a life with God. It's not a switch that you flip on and off. No, you're living a life with God. And that in itself, the encouragement that'll be to other people, is everything that you do, the things you talk about, what's most important to you is the Lord. And that in itself will be an encouragement. Sometimes we just try too hard. We rely on our own ability to be able to minister, and that's why it falls so flat. That's why the words mean nothing, because we're trying to do it for our own, out of our own power. Not only must we be submissive, but we must be Spirit-filled. Now, you look at Galatians chapter 5, and you look at verse 22 and 23, and the Bible talks about the nine evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The nine evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And please understand something. So let me read this verse to you real quick. 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those aren't the fruits, plural, of the Spirit. Those are the nine evidences. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, singular. There's nine evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there is a difference between being indwelt and filled with the Holy Spirit. Being indwelt is you're saved. You have saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. You're sealed, the Bible says. You're secure. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, please understand something. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. The Holy Spirit is trying to work. And like I said earlier, you're relying on your own ability to minister. You try to give glory to yourself, and you quench the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Holy Spirit is telling you, hey, you need to say this, you need to speak a word, or you need to go here, do that, and you say no, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, so this does not mean that you're no longer indwelt with the Holy Spirit. This does not mean you're no longer saved. It just means that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't submit yourself and surrender on a daily basis and ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit, by default, you're submitting to your flesh. Now, you're still saved. You're just not filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have those nine evidences that was just mentioned. Now, some Christians say, well, don't pray about patience because you don't want what God would put you through to get patience. Listen, that's not scriptural. They heard that from somebody who said it and it sounded good. Listen, if you surrender yourself and ask, and as Paul said, I die daily, and let the Holy Spirit of God fill you, those nine evidences will be the work of God in you. That's nothing you get on your own. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, you cannot be saved apart from the Holy Spirit, just like you can't serve without the Holy Spirit. And so it's so important. We must understand that. Okay, without God, we cannot be saved. Without God, we cannot serve. Please understand that. Last of all, we must be students. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. I believe I quoted this earlier. But not only must we be submissive, not only must we be spirit-filled, but also we must be students. Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I don't think I did quote that. I think I quoted another one. But study to show thyself approved. That's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15. As the psalmist said, meditating on the word day and night. If you're going to be a comforter, if you're going to encourage others, not only submit yourself, not only be spirit-filled, but also you need to be a student of the word. You say, "Well, preacher, I just don't have time to study." Well, you should make time. Why are we here? As children of God, why are we here? We could talk about so much. You can really find out about a person when you spend time with them. And if you truly love God, you will spend time in His Word, and it will show in your everyday life. You truly want to comfort people. Church cliches can only go so far. And don't get me wrong, I'm not here to make fun of anyone. I'm not here to put down anything. But we have relied too much on just religious stuff. To truly be a help to someone, boy, if you surrender yourself to God daily, you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're living life with God, you're full of those nine evidences that God is working through you, living through you, and you're a student of the Word of God, and you study, and all day long it's just like you meditate on those words, you're able to take that person through faith, be able to help that person by giving them the Word of God. So I hope this was a blessing to you. I'll pray with you real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. Lord, I pray, God, that we can comfort and encourage others and that we would get out of the way. And Lord, we would humble ourselves and submit ourselves to you, be submissive, Lord, be spirit-filled, and then be students of your word. We say these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Until next time, may the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael from Greensboro. You can email Brother Dean, preachtheword87@outlook.com. preachtheword87@outlook.com. You also can follow our dear friend Brother Dean Carmichael on Facebook, facebook.com/DeanCarmichaelJr.